I hope today that you are desperate for the Lord. He says, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. And he tells us to be hungry for him. And of course, we as Americans really don't know what it means to be hungry. So we have a hard time relating to that word. But desperate might be a word that we can relate to. All of us have been desperate at one time or another in our life for whatever different reasons. And we certainly do need to be desperate for more of God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for the way that the songs have ministered to us this morning and for the words that we've already heard spoken. I ask you now, Father, that your anointing would be upon me and upon your word, and that you would give me exactly, precisely what you would have me to speak this morning. Help us, Father, to have receptive hearts and to listen carefully to your word and to let it minister to us. And if it's different than something we've heard before, Father, let us take it and analyze it to see if it truly is the word of God. And if it is, let us receive it with gladness and act upon it and just apply it to our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, be turning with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And if you'll remember, a couple of weeks ago I preached on the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I told you that if you got a good, firm, deep understanding of that message, that it would change your lives. And I also told you there was another message coming that if you got a good, firm, deep understanding of, it would change your life. And that is the one that we're going to be covering this morning. Now, this message truly will change your life if you understand it. And, well, let me take that one step further. If you understand it and act on it and receive it and apply it to your life. It is a very deep message this morning. It's a message that I need a whole lot more time to develop. As I was praying about this and seeking God, I literally could go for 4 to 5 weeks, Sunday morning and Sunday night, on this. But we're going to try to do it in this short period of time that we have today. And I am hopeful that you will go home and that you personally will do more in-depth study on this for yourself. You know, don't let the preacher do all of your homework. Shame on you if you do. You know, you get 30 minutes once a week. Some of you that come back on Sunday night, you get an hour. We need a whole lot more than that. So we're going to do the best we can. Now, I want, as you go, as we read in Ephesians here, we're going to be starting in verse 18. I want you to notice as we read this, the strong wording that Paul uses here. It almost seems like an exaggeration that could be beyond belief. But Paul is really trying to get us to see the vastness of what he is praying for the Ephesians and what he is praying for us and what he is trying to get us to see here. So as we go through here, I'm going to be stopping and pointing out some meanings of the words and some emphasis that Paul has put on this, and then we're going to get into the actual message. But it's very important that we understand that the wording here is, I guess you could call it even extreme. But in verse 18, Paul says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, let me stop right there a second. That is our goal today. I'm praying that as we go through this message, God would open up your spiritual eyes and enlighten your eyes and allow you to see what he's saying here in his word. In fact, the very next thing Paul says is that he wants the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they may know, or that we may know, what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Now, let me stop right there. He didn't just say what is his greatness of power. He said his exceeding greatness of power. That's one of those strong words we really need to catch here. He's not just talking about a greatness of power. He's talking about an exceeding greatness of power that really is almost incomprehensible. In fact, we're going to find out here in just a minute that this power even raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And folks, that is an exceedingly great power. So he said, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Or in other words, to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, in verse 21, he tells us where he set him. He says that God set Christ far above all principalities. And that word principality means rulers. So it could be far above all and any rulers. And far above all power or all authority. And far above all might or any other abilities that exist. And far above all dominion or other lords or governments. Far above all and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, I'd like to really cut loose on that last one where it says, which is his body, talking about the church. It's the body of Christ, and then it says the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Folks, we don't look at ourselves like God looks at us. He looks at us as the fullness of Christ. I may change my message right here. Well, we're not going to, but God not led me that way. He might do it later on. But again, as we start this morning, I want us to remember that God wants us to know. He wants our eyes to be opened and enlightened spiritually, that we might know. And one of the things that he wants us to know is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Now, for the next few minutes, I'm going to be driving home the point that, first of all, we need to know that Christ has all power, or that he has all authority. And we're going to be backing this up with scripture after scripture after scripture, and it's very important that we get this. First of all, going back to our text in verse 21, it says that Christ is seated far above all of the things that we listed there, all of the principalities and the powers and the might and the dominion and every name that is named. He is not seated just above them. He is seated far above them, exceedingly far above them, so far that it is almost incomprehensible how far ahead and above he is over those things. It's very important that we understand how far Christ is over all of the other powers out there, because we need to know that he does not have any competition. There is not any other competition out there. No one even comes close to his greatness. He is the Almighty God, period. Period. Well, we're not getting nearly as excited over this as we should. Verse 22 says, all things are under his feet. Well, Brother Greg, that's everything except my situation. No, that's all things. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your situation is, it says that all things are under his feet. And under his feet means they're under his subjection. And so again, that tells us how great and how far above all of those things that he is. And all of these things I'm sharing with you, like I said, I'd like to have just a week to develop each and every one of these. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said that all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. How much power? All of it. Every last smidgen of power. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And in Colossians 2:15, the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus whooped his strongest enemy and did so openly. And those of us that live here in Arkansas, we know the difference in whipped and whooped. If you've been whipped is one thing. If you've been whooped, you know you've been whooped. There's a big, big difference there. And Jesus whooped Satan openly. In fact, when that confrontation was over, Jesus walked out of hell with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And as we've talked before, the keys represent total, complete authority. Complete authority. Jesus defeated Satan once and for all. Now, here's something that we really need to get in our minds. Satan is a fallen angel. He never was up there with God. He was a servant of God. He was one of the top angels, but he was not and never has been and never will be deity. We give him way too much credit. He's a fallen angel. Not only that, he is also a defeated foe. Already defeated. And we're going to be looking at that in a few minutes on how that applies to our lives. Another thing that shows the authority that Christ has. Philippians 2, verses 9 and 10 says that God also hath highly exalted him, talking about Christ, and given him a name which is above every name. And according to what we read there in Ephesians, we could read that God hath exalted him and given him a name which is far above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, in earth, and under the earth. His power and his authority is so great that every knee has to bow. Every knee. Doesn't matter how great of a dictator they ever were on the earth, they're going to have to bow. Doesn't matter if it's Satan himself, he's already had to bow and he's going to have to bow again. Because every knee has to bow to Jesus. He is that powerful and he has that much authority. And going back to our text in verse 20, it says that God set Jesus at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, folks, when you're sitting right next to the top authority, you're as high as it gets. Except for one thing. Matthew 28:18 tells us that God gave Jesus his authority. He said, all power, all authority has been given to me. So what he's saying is God has transferred that power and that authority over to me. So we need to understand that he does have all power. Now, like I said, that's a very abbreviated presentation of the power and the authority that Christ has, and I hope that you can see from that Christ does have all authority. If you have any doubt at all in your life, I hope you will go home and study it until you are absolutely, completely convinced that he does have. Now, even when we understand that Christ has all authority, we have to ask the question, so what? I mean, he has all authority. So what? What's the big deal about that? Why is that important to us? Well, it's going to be more important than I think you really understand. And I'm glad that you asked that question, because we're going to take the next few minutes and we're going to answer that question. Once that we've come to the realization that Jesus has all authority and that he has all power, we need to look at what he did with that power. Jesus had that power and that authority in his hands, and he could have done with it whatsoever he wanted to do with it. God did not give him that power with any restrictions. He said, I have given it to you. So Jesus could have done with it whatever he wanted to do. And I want you to listen to me closely, because this is going to be brand new for some of you. And some of you may even need to strap down your seatbelts real tight, because Jesus chose to pass that authority on to us. But we as a church don't act like he did. In fact, most of us as a church don't realize that he did. He had all of the authority in the kingdom, and one of the verses that tells us that he passed it on to us is Matthew 16:19, and it tells us that Jesus has given us the keys to the kingdom of God. In other words, he has given us the authority of the kingdom of God. And even over here in the Ephesians where we were reading, you know, sometimes we skim over the Bible and we kind of read what we want to read and we don't catch the other things there. But I want us to compare closely the words of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20 or 19 and 20 and in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. So these are very, very close in their presentation here. They're definitely by the same authors. Definitely Paul sat down and wrote this at the very same time. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, he says that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which God wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. In chapter 2, verse 6, notice the wording. It says, God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Folks, the wording is all most identical. Said that he raised Christ up from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Then in verse 6 said he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been placed in a place of authority. We need to start acting like we're sitting in that place of authority. Let me give you a couple of examples out of the Bible that tells you that we have that authority. The Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Is it because we're so big, bad, and ugly that he has to flee from us? No. It's because of the authority that we've been given in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't say if you bow up your shoulders and look real bad at him, he's going to flee. We have to stand in the authority that we've been given by God and resist him. And he will flee. The Bible also tells us, ask what you will and it shall be done. And we've talked about this several times, that God has given us the authority to come before him in prayer and to ask and to believe for the things that we prayed for. Because he told us that if we pray according to his word, we can have confidence that he will hear us and will answer because we have the authority to go before him. And we need to understand that just as God set Jesus in a place of authority, so too has he set us in a place of authority. We are set there because we are in Christ. Now, it's not anything that we've done on our own. We could never earn it. We could never deserve it. But, folks, we definitely have been set there because we are children of the Most High God and because Jesus has given us that authority. If he didn't give us that authority, we could not survive in this world. In fact, God wants us to do more than survive. He wants us to be aggressive, as we're going to see here in just a minute, and be soldiers in this warfare. So we know from what we just shared there, and again, I'd like to spend a week or two on that, but we know from that we do have the authority. So let's look real quickly at what the purpose of us having that authority is. He didn't just give it to us so we could walk around bragging that we've got it. He gave it to us for a very specific reason. And according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we have been given this authority to go and to take the gospel to the lost and to make disciples. Jesus said, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore in my name and in that power and in that authority and make disciples and teach them and to baptize them. That is why we've been given that authority. It's the very same reason that Jesus had been given the authority that he was given. Now, we're supposed to be on the offensive. Sadly, the vast majority of the church anymore is on the defensive. We wait till Satan attacks us. We're not attacking him like we're supposed to be. We are out there supposed to be taking ground away from him. That is our job. The Bible tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Now, gates are there to keep the enemy out. Now, think about that. The gates of hell are a defensive object. The gates of hell are not there to keep Satan in. And it says the gates of hell will not prevail against us. In other words, if we keep bombarding the gates of hell, we can break through and we can take Satan's territory. And we are the enemy of Satan, and we need to be penetrating his territory. You know, I've had people ask me, well, why is it that we used to see great revivals like they used to have? And we don't see those much anymore. We quit being aggressively, offensively. We started being a defense instead of an offense. And yes, there's things that Satan will throw up at us that we have to defend against. That's what the shield of the faith is for. But folks, we also have a sword that we're supposed to be using. And we're not using it. We need to be on the offensive and we need to fight the fight of faith. Now, when we are fighting and we're fighting from a perspective of authority, and not a perspective of just trying to hold on as long as we can, it completely changes our attitude. We go out and we fight with confidence. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Now again, that's another offensive, another situation where we ought to be aggressive offensively. It didn't say wait till the strongholds come up and hit us and then try to defend ourselves against it. It said that we are to pull down the strongholds. We are to take the authority and the power that we have and to be aggressive and to tear those things down. And we've talked in the past about how to do that. And folks, we have to just be honest. We're not willing to do what it takes to get it done. This is spiritual warfare. And it comes through Bible study and through prayer and through fasting and through meditating and through really being desperate for God and hungry for God and putting Him first and foremost in our lives and seeking the kingdom of God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and seeking Him and His kingdom and His righteousness first, and we're not doing it. And we wonder why we're not winning the battle. We have to be aggressive, and we have to understand the authority that we've been given by God. Now, I want to give you one final verse to show that we do have the authority. Mark 13:34 says, "The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants." In other words, he's saying he left his house and gave his servants the right to act on his behalf. The Bible tells us, as Jesus was, so are we in this present world. We are the ones that are supposed to be out there doing what He has called us to do and using the authority that He has bestowed upon us to preach the gospel and to do the works of Christ and to reach the lost and to make disciples and to do all the things that He told us to do. But before we're going to attack, we have to understand and realize that we have that authority. If we don't realize it, we're going to keep cowering back in the corner and going to be afraid of Satan and just hope he doesn't pick on us. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you that I'm stronger now than I've ever been in my life spiritually. And that's not bragging. That's just because of the things that I've done that I know that I'm stronger. I'm ready for the battle. And folks, we've got to be ready for the battle. We cannot wait until Satan shows his ugly face and say, "Oh, now what do I do?" No, we've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and using the authority that He has given us to do the things that He's called us to do. So we need to get a firm understanding that God had all power and all authority. And He transferred that over to Christ. And Christ transferred that over to us, His body. And again, that one verse that says that we are His fullness. We could go into that and say that we are His full representation of Him and His kingdom here on this earth. And we are here in His authority. Just like the United States sends ambassadors to another nation, to another country, they go in the full authority of the United States. We are here as ambassadors for Christ, and we have His full power and His full authority to back us. I'm going to give you one other quick example. And for those of you that have been saved, you stop and think about it. When you decided that you were going to get saved, and you were going to do what the Bible said, and you were going to believe in the Lord Jesus, and you were going to receive Him as your Savior, all of the demons in hell and Satan himself couldn't keep that from happening. That's the kind of power and authority we have, folks. But we have to stand on it, we have to act on it, and we have to learn how to use it. Now, here's my challenge for you this morning. I want to challenge you to commit to learning more about your authority and learning to act on that authority so we can accomplish more for God. I want you to learn to pray with authority. The Bible tells us to come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why can we go boldly? Because we have authority to be there. Every one of you is going to go to your house today, and you're going to walk up boldly to the front door or the back door or one of the doors, and you're going to stick the key in there, and you're going to unlock it and walk in because you know you have authority to be there. We have authority to be in the throne room of God, and we have the authority to be taking our needs and our petitions before Him. In fact, the Bible says when we pray according to His word and according to His will, that we can have confidence that we will receive our petitions. But you're not going to walk in there whimpering and wondering if you have the right to be there and get anything answered. We've got to learn that we have the authority to be there, and we ought to go in boldly and present our petitions before the Lord. And we need to learn to live with authority. We need to learn to resist Satan. Don't play with him. You don't have to play with him. He's not a toy. He's an enemy. And you have the power to resist him. And the Bible says when you resist him, he has to flee. But before he's going to flee, you have to resist. Now, he may come back in a little while. That's his job. Guess what? Resist again. When he comes back again, guess what? Resist again. And if you keep resisting, he's going to get tired and he's going to go find somebody that he can pick on without being resisted. And the Bible tells us so many other things about our authority. But God has entrusted us with that authority. Now the question is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to use it to go out and to make a difference in this world and to win the lost and to make disciples and baptize people in the name of Jesus like He's told us to? But first of all, like I said, we have to understand that we do have that authority. Now, I understand that this is not an invitation where you may just come running to the front and saying, you know, I want that authority, I want that authority, I want it. Well, it's already yours if you're a born-again child of God. So that's not the issue. The invitation this morning is this. Well, it's actually two things. First of all, like I said, if you don't realize you have the authority, I want you to study until you do realize that you have it. The second thing is, if you've got a situation in your life, I want you to understand it's not too big for God to handle. He asked Abraham, says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And it's not. We need to understand that. So if you have a situation or a challenge or a problem going on in your life, I encourage you to bring that to the Lord and to lay it on His altar. And to leave it there, the Bible says, to cast all of our care over on Him because He cares for us. And if we cast it over on Him, then it's His to deal with. And He'll help us in that. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before You. I thank You so much for Your Word. And Father, I thank You for the depth of Your Word. And I realize and understand this morning, Father, that we have only scratched the surface of this topic and the issue that You've laid upon our heart. But God, I pray that You would help us to get a firm understanding of this truth and help us to act in the authority that we have. And Father, help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and to be on the aggressive and to go out and to take back territory that Satan has taken from us and to be aggressive in our spreading of the gospel and to be aggressive in our spreading of the word and in teaching others about You. And trying to win the lost to Jesus Christ. And God, I just pray that Your hand would be upon us, and that You would lead us, and that You would guide us. And Father, help us to understand that the authority and the power we have is not in ourselves, but it's because that we are in Christ Jesus and that You have set us in heavenly places with Him. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.